This article appeared in the fall 2009 issue of UU World magazine and is available online at uuworld.org. From the editor, the breadth of our message. An hour after he was elected president of the Unitarian Universalist Association on June 27th, the Reverend Peter Morales met with me and several colleagues from the UUA's communications staff. We asked him what Unitarian Universalism has to offer the world. The number of people who are already in agreement with us, Morales said, not just in an intellectual sense, but in complete harmony with our core values, is enormous. The breadth of our message is very appealing, but we need to become more culturally diverse in our forms of expression in order to reach the millions of people who share our theology and values. The cover story of this issue explores how one congregation, All Souls Unitarian Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, is learning this very lesson. When a black Pentecostal bishop, the Reverend Carlton Pearson, began preaching the gospel of inclusion to his Tulsa megachurch several years ago, his evangelical critics recognized right away that he was embracing the heresy of universalism. Many Unitarian Universalists were fascinated by his story, too. The Reverend Marlon Lavenhar, the senior minister at All Souls, reached out to Pearson. They became friends, and last year, Pearson, his family, and many of his remaining followers made All Souls their home. What does it look like when African-American Universalists, rooted in the Pentecostal tradition, join a largely white UU church? The people of All Souls, newcomers and old-timers alike, are learning to stretch culturally and proving Morales's point. If Unitarian Universalism is to offer a religious home as broad as our message, we will have to learn to stretch, too. This issue also features an excerpt from Mary Pfeiffer's wonderful new book, Seeking Peace, Chronicles of the Worst Buddhist in the World. Although she doesn't call it that, I think of her memoir as a humanist's spiritual autobiography. The story of how her unexpected fame as the best-selling author of Reviving Ophelia disoriented and depressed her, and of how she gradually learned to reclaim joy. Be Present shares some of what she learned, but you'll want to read the whole book. In the last issue, I announced the end of UU and Me, the 4-page children's insert the Church of the Larger Fellowship had been producing for UU World. See editor Betsy Williams' farewell letter on page 9. Now I am pleased to introduce Families Weave a Tapestry of Faith, a new insert in the center of the magazine produced by the UUA's Lifespan Faith Development staff. The Families pages aren't a replacement for UU and Me, but something new, a collection of stories, activities, and resources to help you and your children or grandchildren explore our deepest UU values. Led by editor Susan Lawrence, the LFD staff worked fast to put together this fine news section, and I'm happy to share it with you. Please let us know what you think. Christopher L. Walton, editor, world@uua.org. From the new president, we want our movement to change. Deadlines. I am writing this at my home in Colorado on the afternoon of July 4th, less than a week after being elected your new president. Tomorrow I leave for Boston for meetings and apartment hunting. There is a poetic justice in a former journalist facing a deadline. Mailbox by Jane Greer. We received 34 letters in response to the summer 2009 issue. 5 responded to the cover story about African Unitarian Universalists, One Tribe, One People, and 3 to the demise of UU and Me, a children's magazine later published as an insert in UU World. The most vociferous group, with 6 letters, responded to The Liberal Saints, the story about a series of 24 tile murals celebrating liberal heroes on the walls of Chicago's Third Unitarian Church. The one issue riling the majority was the inclusion of President Woodrow Wilson in the Pantheon. Wilson a saint? Hardly, wrote Bill Gates of Sun Lakes, Arizona. Wilson and his administration presided over one of the worst assaults on civil liberties in American history, the Espionage and Sedition Acts and the Palmer Raids on immigrants. Bob Tripp of Reston, Virginia, agreed. Wilson was, in fact, an avowed racist who deliberately brought racial segregation back to Washington, D.C. Among other actions, he instituted racial segregation in government building cafeterias. Wrote Margaret K. St. Clair of Ashland, Oregon, "If I had first entered the sanctuary of the Third Unitarian Church in Chicago, I never would have become a Unitarian Universalist. The liberal saints depicted are overwhelmingly male." Two correspondents wrote about the recent UUA elections. John Otter of Santa Fe, New Mexico, was disturbed that in 21 races only one was contested. "Democracy is not well served in an association of such diversity by anointing officials through uncontested seats," he wrote. Woodleaf Thomas of Naples, New York, commented on Michael Schuller's essay, "The Promised Land is Under Your Feet," about the virtues of staying in the same community. "I suspect that most of those who move probably resemble my family, who for 8 generations, save one, lived somewhere other than where they were born. In every case, once they arrived, they stayed put and contributed to their new community." Jane Greer is senior editor of UU World. Letters. Growth in Africa. Development experts say that providing direct support to missionaries and praying for schools and other social work is often a one-way street that makes recipients dependent on foreign aid. Citing this as a reason, the UUA has not donated money directly to UU churches in Kenya. One Tribe, One People by Scott Kraft, summer 2009. This sounds like a real cop-out. The efforts being made by the Kenyan churches are self-generated, not imposed from the top down by some outside entity. How could it hurt to pay off the loans for the 2 cows, or for the mill to grind maize into flour so the Kenyans could use all their earnings to fund their programs instead of paying interest? We should support the Kenyan UUs financially, especially when the amounts being required are on the order of pocket change. Surely we can figure out the difference between supporting them in their efforts and imposing dependency on them. Daniel Chase, Cape Elizabeth, Maine, Allen Avenue Unitarian Universalist Church. Editor's note: the UUA is trying to raise $100,000 for its African Partnership Project, which will help fund groups supporting relationships between North American and African UU congregations. Visit uua.org/giving/donate-now/132894.shtml. As an anthropologist who has worked and lived in Kenya's rural areas off and on since 1977, I was drawn to the issue on Unitarian Universalism in Africa. In the rural areas of Kenya, one thing is certain. When Wananchi, ordinary people, hear of or see Wazungu, whites, to Kenyans it spells money. An inclusive religion such as ours may be attractive, but it may be that Kenyan UUs see a pipeline to future funding in their desire to join our ranks. A large part of what is driving the Magaras and other Kisii is the promise of donations for their church and its projects, as the article revealed. As UU churches grow in Kenya, whereas in the United States they are faltering, a word of caution: it could turn out to be a Kenyan fad when the bucks don't come in. Or it could turn out to be a potentially mutually beneficial partnership for some churches. Jean Davison, Ph.D., Harborside, Maine, Wildflower UU Church, Austin, Texas. Former UUA President William G. Sinkford says that after visiting Africa, he better understands that where poverty is extreme, managing a Unitarian Universalist church that does not address that poverty is simply impossible. The organization I founded, Bridges into Africa, is not a missionary effort. It is purely UU, helping folks help themselves through businesses they establish and maintain. Thanks to the contributions of friends and family, UUs in Africa enjoy jobs and income by processing palm oil, grinding grains, providing transportation, raising and breeding animals, and cultivating gardens. While none of these ventures entirely solves the problems of terrible poverty, it is a start. I hope more UU congregations join me in supporting UU congregations in Lagos, Bujumbura, Nairobi, and Kigali. Janice Brunson, founder Bridges into Africa. janicebrunson@yahoo.com. Paradise Valley, Arizona. Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Phoenix. UUNME's supporters. As UUNME, the magazine for UU kids, comes to an end, I'd like to say a few words of thanks. First, I'd like to thank UU World, Tom Stites, former editor, in particular, for seeing the value of a UU magazine for children. From his encouragement in our early days to his advocacy for our inclusion in UU World 5 years ago, Tom's support was critical. But UUNME would not have happened at all without two visionary leaders at the Church of the Larger Fellowship, Nancy Engels and the Reverend Scott Alexander. From the moment I pitched the idea of a subscription magazine for children, they never wavered in their commitment or support. Financially, we were awarded many grants from the Fund for Unitarian Universalism, and I thank Hillary Goodridge for her unflagging support and encouragement. Thanks also go to Judy Campbell, whose wonderful characters, Rachel and Tony, brought Martin and Judy into the 21st century, and Claudia Cimini, who sent regular art and craft ideas. Finally, I must thank our readers. I've learned many things as creator, managing editor of UUNME, but none mean more to me than the knowledge that we made a difference in your lives. Betsy Williams, editor UUNME, Harvard, Massachusetts, Harvard Unitarian Universalist Church. Nature's cruelty. As a UU working in the field of biology, I am frequently distressed by the one-sided views of nature often espoused by those in our faith who conceive of God as creativity in the natural universe, as described by William Murray in his article Natural Faith, Spring 2009. I rarely hear these folks speak about the full, stark range of natural phenomena, about the old moose hunted to stumbling exhaustion by a wolf pack, about the wasp that paralyzes a caterpillar and then lays eggs within it that will eat it alive, about the Boxing Day tsunami and its wake of shattered trees and bloated corpses. Nature is indivisible. I feel one cannot, with integrity, deify its creative aspects while ignoring or deploring the rest of it. For this reason, I cannot be a pantheist or a natural theist. I respect and marvel at the natural world, but I will not worship it. Instead, I choose to join with other caring beings to cherish nature's beauty while working to mitigate its casual cruelty. For me, God is in this choice. Amanda Birmingham, Lafayette, Colorado, Boulder Valley UU Fellowship. Partner Church Past. As a historian, I must point out that three entities have been conflated in Jane Greer's news story, UUA Shifts International Focus to Congregations, UUWorld.org, June 15, 2009. An abbreviated version appears on page 52. They are the Sister Church Program, the Partner Church Movement and the Partner Church Council. The Sister Church program of the 1920s was started by American Unitarian Association President Lewis Cornish and renewed by UUA President William Schultz and moderator Natalie Gulbranson in 1988 as an emergency response to Ceausescu's village destruction policy. Dr. Judith Gellerd, my wife, arrived in the U.S. in 1988 and volunteered her expertise to organize what would become the grassroots partner church movement under the Save Transylvanian Unitarianism Appeal. She wrote guidebooks and published volumes of sermons on Transylvania, translated her martyred father's scholarship on Unitarian intellectual history, and spoke in more than 150 UU churches. In 1993, when the UUA board declined to support the Transylvania program, Gellerd asked the Reverend Dr. Richard Becky, the Reverend Dr. C. Leon Hopper, and the Reverend Dr. Peter Rabel to take action. They met during the 1993 General Assembly and with other Transylvania enthusiasts established the Partner Church Council with Rabel as its first president and Gellerd as general secretary. George M. Williams, Sun City West, Arizona, West Valley Unitarian Universalist Church. UU World welcomes letters to the editor. Send to Letters, UU World, 25 Beacon Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02108, or world at uua.org, but do not send attachments. Include your name, address, daytime phone number, and congregation on all correspondence. Published letters with author's name, city, and state will appear on www.uuworld.org. Letters are edited for length and style. A maximum length of 200 words is suggested. We regret we cannot publish or respond to all letters. Blog Roundup by Christopher L. Walton. Many people discuss Unitarian Universalism and UU World stories on blogs. Find links to the blog entries mentioned below by visiting uuworld.org. Click Current Issue, then select Blog Roundup. Several blogs responded to UU World Summer Issue. Religious educator Carrie Kopnick was dismayed by the news that UU World would no longer publish UU and Me, a four-page insert for children produced by the Church of the Larger Fellowship. From the Editor, Summer 2009. See its replacement, Families. Weave a Tapestry of Faith in this issue. It was a wonderful resource for many, many families for years, Kopnick wrote at Chalice Spark. You made a real difference in my life and the lives of lots of us. Chalice Spark. .blogspot.com, May 21st. At Kumbaya, commenter Diggett responded to our cover story about Unitarian Universalists in Kenya. Here is a group that almost denies the existence of homosexuality, although it lives with AIDS on a daily basis, and which embraces polygamy. Yet we are considering an outreach to it because of its acceptance of the message of universalism. I predict this will be a thorn in our side. The African Anglican Communion has brought little joy to American Episcopalians. Kumbaya.blogspot.com, June 3rd. The Reverend Thomas Perchlick, responding to several articles in the summer issue, observed, "Even if a candidate for the UUA presidency tells us we are the religion for our time, the fact is that most of us do not think we are a religion, but either a smorgasbord of religions or something that enhances the flavor of religion cooked up somewhere else." Thomas Perchlick, that's Perchlik, .wordpress.com, June 8th. Linguist Friend, a contributor to the Chalice blog, liked many things about UUA President William G. Singford's fall 2008 column, but disagreed with Singford's suggestion that UUs should get over their discomfort with saying the Lord's Prayer at interfaith events. It strikes me as illegitimate to adopt the forms of a worship in which one does not believe, outside of cases of compulsion or some extreme pastoral situations, linguist friend wrote. An alternative is simply to be silent and wait for something in which one can more comfortably share. ChaliceChick.blogspot.com, July 8th. Many UU bloggers provided an on-site commentary about the General Assembly in June. The Reverend Dan Harper, Doug Mooder, and Sarah Robinson wrote for UUA.org's General Assembly blog, blogs.uua.org/GA2009, while Christopher L. Walton and Sonia L. Cohen provided daily news coverage at UUWorld.org's GA blog, UUWorld.org/news/GA. Two delegates from the Church of the Larger Fellowship reported daily at CLF Delegates Notes, infopubs@blogspot.com. For links to blog commentary about the UUA presidential election, the General Assembly's narrow rejection of a revision of the UUA's principles and purposes, and the Assembly's decision not to vote on a statement of conscience on peacemaking this year, see UUWorld.org's July 6th and July 13th editions of The Interdependent Web, UUWorld.org/blogs/web. Magazine coverage of GA begins on page 37. At GA, the UUA introduced a new public witness campaign called Standing on the Side of Love, which features a lively web presence at standingontheSideOfLove.org. At his personal blog, the Reverend Dan Harper criticized the campaign slogan and visuals, danielharper.org/blog, July 6th. Elsewhere in the blogosphere, actress and political activist Jane Fonda wrote about her faith as a work in progress and credited the Reverend Forrest Church, a Unitarian Universalist minister and frequent UU World contributor, for the observation that God is not God's name. JaneFonda.com, June 10th. Finally, keep up with UU World via Facebook, facebook.com/UUWorld, or Twitter, twitter.com/UUWorld. Traffic Report, Top 10 Online. Most frequently visited stories on UUWorld.org, April 6th through July 5th, 2009. 1. Assembly of a Lesser God by Doug Mooder, September 22nd, 2008. 2. General Assembly blog by Christopher L. Walton and Sonia L. Cohen, June 2009. 3. The Interdependent Web by Christopher L. Walton and Kenneth Sutton, or weekly blog about UU blogs. 4. The Church Board and the Illuminati by Meg Barnhouse, May 4, 2009. 5. Carolyn McDade's Spirit of Life by Kimberly French, Fall 2007. 6. Imagineers of Soul by Christine Robinson, Spring 2009. 7. Holding the Center Against Sectarianism and Secularity by Doug Mooder, Spring 2009. 8. Unitarian Universalists in the Media by Sonia L. Cohen, our weekly blog about news. 9. Utah, A Great Place to Be a Unitarian Universalist by Donald E. Skinner, May 4, 2009. And 10. Bare Naked Church Ladies by Jane Greer, October 3, 2005. Christopher L. Walton is the editor of UU World. What in the world? Gratitude, paying attention, and multiculturalism. Questions for Spiritual Reflection and Adult Group Discussions by Jane Greer. Pastoral or prophetic? Michael Dural urges congregations to focus more on public service than on personal spirituality. Our primary concern, he writes, should lie away from the private sphere and toward becoming a public church, one that reaches out to create a more just and humane world. Reach out to become a public church, page 15. What role should public and private spirituality play in congregational life? Practicing gratitude. Christine Robinson and Alicia Hawkins discuss the importance of practicing gratitude. A musician practices scales for many lonely hours so that when it comes time to perform, the music will flow naturally from the fingers. Likewise, we can make a practice of our gratitude that will sustain us in the wonderful and difficult times of our lives. Practice gratitude, page 19. What are you grateful for? Conversion. Bernadette Siegel writes about an encounter with a Unitarian woman in 1945 that so affected her that she later became a Unitarian herself. A Spark of Understanding, page 22. If you were not born UU, how did you choose to become one? What is your conversion story? If you grew up UU, how have you introduced your Unitarian Universalism to others? Diversity. Kimberly French describes the transformation that is taking place at All Souls Unitarian Church in Tulsa, which has welcomed former Pentecostal Bishop Carlton Pearson, who lost his megachurch when he embraced Universalism, and many of his followers. One of the morning services now includes praise music and upraised hands, which has brought back traumatic memories for some UUs who fled the churches of their youth. I came to All Souls to get away from all that, they have said, but others have joined the church because the new music speaks to them. The Gospel of Inclusion, page 26. When people share the same theology and values, but prefer different styles of music and worship, what can a congregation do to meet everyone's needs? What could your congregation do? God Talk. The Reverend Marlon Lavenhar, senior minister at All Souls, acknowledges that his church was using a lot of God language in its services and that it was using biblical stories as monthly themes before Pearson's New Dimensions congregation joined them. New Dimensions introduced other forms of God talk to All Souls. How might your congregation respond to such a change? Paying attention. In Be Present, Mary Pfeiffer describes different kinds of time, distinguishing chronological time from the transcendent time she calls moments. In these moments, we are fully present to our own experiences, which can range from the experience of childbirth to seeing a beautiful sunset. The number of moments during a lifetime make us truly rich or poor. Page 33. What are some of the moments in your life? Do you consider yourself rich or poor? Focusing. Pfeiffer describes some techniques that she uses to make herself pay attention, looking into the faces of people she meets while running errands, breathing deeply at stop signs, and challenging a friend to a happiness contest. Page 34. What techniques do you use to make yourself pay attention? Multiculturalism. Newly elected UUA President Peter Morales told UU World just after his election at the General Assembly in June, "The breadth of our message is very appealing, but we need to become more culturally diverse in our forms of expression in order to reach the millions of people who share our theology and values." A Multicultural Future, page 38. Do you know people who share your UU beliefs and values, but who may not feel welcome in your congregation? Can you imagine things your congregation might do that would help them feel at home? Merger doubts. Kimberly French describes the reservations that some Unitarians and some Universalists had when their denominations voted to unite in 1959, 50 years after the vote to form the UUA, page 64. What have been the advantages and disadvantages of the merger? Jane Greer is senior editor of UU World. UU World is the magazine of the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations. This recording is made possible by the UUA Department of Communications and the UUA Accessibilities Office. I'm Dick Hill. I'm an audiobook narrator, and my website is www.dickhill.com.